Under the leadership of one of their anbiya, Bani Israel came to their Nabi and they told him, send us a king so that we can fight under his leadership. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَأِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمُ بَعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا.
Have you not thought about the group of the children of Israel after the time of Musa when they said to a prophet of theirs, appoint for us a king and we will fight in Allah's way? They came to their Nabi and they told him, we want to fight in the sake of Allah. Their Nabi was very wise. قال هل عسيتم إن كتب عليكم القتال ألا تقاتلوا. He said, would you then refrain from fighting if fighting was prescribed for you? He said, you're asking for fighting, but when fighting is prescribed on you, will you fight? Because it's easy to claim that you're willing to fight. And people talk, but rarely do we find anybody walking the talk. People say that we're willing to fight in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're giving out these sermons and everybody's motivated and encouraged, but then when it comes to the real situation, people back out. And the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, he said, now you're asking for fighting. What if it is prescribed on you? Will you then fight? They said, definitely. وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. Why shouldn't we fight in the sake of Allah when we have been driven out of our homes and our children? They have kicked us out of our land. How come we will not fight? And we will fight in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they gave their promises and they said, we will fight in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry. We will fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ تَوَلَّوْا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. But when fighting was ordered for them, they turned away, all except a few of them. We should never be fooled by the claims that we hear and the talk. Because talk is free. It doesn't cost you anything to talk. But fighting in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala costs you a lot. You can make a claim that you will open Jerusalem if you want. Talking big is easy, but the sacrifice, and especially long-term sacrifice which jihad needs, that is difficult. Jihad is not only sacrifice, but it's a long-term sacrifice, and that is where people fail. If you are asked to sacrifice in one time, you could be fired up with a speech and then you would give out your money, for example, and you would sacrifice. That could happen. But when you're asked to sacrifice for a long period and you're suffering hardship for a long time, that is what causes people to fail. Bani Israel, they said, we're going to fight. Why shouldn't we fight? And we were driven out of our homes and driven out of our children. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed fighting on them, they didn't. But now it's too late to back out because the order is already revealed. They asked for a king, they asked for a leader, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with one. Their Nabi said,
وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to you Talut as a king. Allah has appointed for you a king, and he is Talut. Now these people who asked to fight in the sake of Allah, they were the first ones to argue with the commandment of their Nabi. They came to the Nabi and they said, we want a leader. When they were provided with a leader, they started arguing and they said, we don't want it. They are asking for a king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with a leader and then they said, we don't want him. Why? They gave two reasons. They gave two reasons why they disagree with the appointment of Talut as king.
قالوا أنى يكون له الملك علينا ونحن أحق بالملك منه ولم يؤت سعة من المال.
Two reasons. Number one, he's not from the nobility. He's not from the noble families. Number two, he's not wealthy. These are the two reasons. How can he be a king when he does not belong to the high class? And how can he be a king when he's not wealthy? And this is the nature of Bani Israel. What they consider to be success in life is the status of which class you come from, because they always use race as an issue. Bani Israel, the Jews, it's an issue to them. We are the chosen people. We are the special people. You are the Gentiles. You are lower class. So race is important to them. And then the second issue, money. These are the criteria that they use. Race and money. And this is a disease that is in the hearts of the children of Israel al-Yahud. And it's also a disease that exists somewhat among us. We consider people to be successful according to how much money they have. What do they say? How much is he what? Worth. How much is he worth? So we qualify the person according to how much money he has. When you say how much the person is worth, what are you talking about? His money. He's worth a billion, he's worth a million. If he doesn't have any money, he's worth nothing. His iman doesn't matter. His salah doesn't matter. His deen doesn't matter. If he doesn't have any money, he's worth nothing. Their Nabi is teaching them that this is wrong. He told them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ Allah has chosen him among you. That's it. This is enough to settle the argument. Allah is the one who chose him. Don't argue. His ancestry, his ethnicity, his race doesn't matter. His wealth doesn't matter. Why? Allah has chosen him. So that could have been the end of the conversation. Allah has chosen him, period. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us how to choose leaders. Therefore, the Nabi has told them two qualifications you should be looking for when you're looking for a leader. They gave two reasons why he shouldn't be a leader. Their Nabi gave them two reasons why he should be the leader. He said,
قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased him amply in two things, knowledge and strength. Allah has given him two things, knowledge and strength. The word knowledge is defined according to the job which you're appointing the leader to. Why am I saying this? Because many times whenever we say knowledge, our minds would immediately take us to fiqh. And that's not necessarily the case. If a person is going to be appointed as a military leader, then he should have a lot of knowledge in fighting, in war. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ appointed Khalid bin Walid to be the general, the emir of the army. But it wasn't Khalid bin Walid who was appointed to be the Khalifa. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was appointed to be the Khalifa. Every position has its knowledge that is required. Talut had the knowledge he needed for the job of leading Bani Israel in jihad. And he had strength. And again, strength is defined according to the job. It's not a matter of physical strength. You don't need to have a bodybuilder for every job. In this job, you need to be strong, physically strong. But in other types of jobs, it needs to have mental strength, or strength of will, or strength of heart. It depends on the type of job. But these are the two things you should look for in the leader. Knowledge and strength. زَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجَسْمِ Then he said, وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah gives the kingdom to whomever he wills. It's not up to you. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَبَقِيَّةٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ آلُ مُوسَى وَآلُ هَارُونَ تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ
Allah, to strengthen their hearts, is going to appoint Talut as a king through a ceremony. And this ceremony would be a miracle from Allah. To strengthen their hearts, so that they would accept him as a leader, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide a miracle. Ayah. That ayah was at-tabut. At-tabut is a casket. in that casket were some of the belongings of Musa and Harun. And Bani Israel used to consider that to be barakah because it is left behind from the Anbiya. And between them and Musa are centuries, few hundreds of years. So they have been separated from Musa through a long history. They had some of the belongings of Musa and Harun in a casket, and they used to consider that to be barakah for them because it's left behind from the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened is the enemy was able to take hold of this, and the enemy took it away from them. This ayah, miracle that Allah is going to give them, is that this tabut, casket, will be delivered by the angels to Bani Israel. So the angels carried this casket and brought it back to Bani Israel. And in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, it's sakina, tranquility, peace for you. This belongs to the Anbiya, Allah will bring it back to you. So it's going to be sakina for you. Talut was appointed as a king. فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ When Talut set out with the army. Talut now recruited all of the men. And he set out with them. فَصَلَ فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ Meaning that he separated himself from the rest of Bani Israel. All of the children and the women and the elderly are left behind, and now Talut is with the fighters. He has the soldiers with him. As-Suddi, one of the Mufassirin, says they numbered 80,000. His army was 80,000 soldiers, men. Talut is not looking for numbers. Talut knows that what he is facing ahead needs an iron will. It needs patience. It needs strength. Therefore, he's going to take his ummah, he's going to take this army through a series of tests. He's not going to take them and fight. He's not looking for a crowd. He's looking for strong soldiers who can fight with him. Because Talut, out of his wisdom, knew that if there are any weak soldiers with us, they're going to cause us more harm than benefit. And we know that from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the battle of Tabuk, the munafiqeen were coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everyone was giving an excuse to stay behind. One of them, they were inventing excuses. One of them even came and said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I fear the fitna of women. I don't want to go with you and fight because if I see women, then I would lose my mind." That is the excuse that he gave. He said, "Please let me stay here." Munafiqeen, they were coming to Rasulullah and everyone was giving an excuse. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that there are munafiqeen and he's telling them stay behind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةٌ If they were serious that they wanted to fight, they would have found ways to prepare for it. But they're not serious, they don't want to fight. These excuses are fake. If they were serious, if they were true in their intentions to fight, لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةٌ They would have prepared for it. Now they're waiting till the last moment and then they're coming and saying, "I don't have I have business that is not done yet." Allah is saying, لَوْ أَرَادُ الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَوْ عُدَّةٌ If they were serious, they would have prepared for it early. And they would have been able to go. وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَطَبَّطَهُمْ وَقِيلَ قَعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ Allah did not want them to go out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them stay behind. Allah does not want them to go out with his Nabi. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ خَرَجُوا فِيكُمْ مَا زَادُوكُمْ إِلَّا خَبَالًا If they went out with you, they would have caused you nothing but weakness. These soldiers, if they come out with you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're going to cause you weakness. Because when the battle starts and the screws are tightened, then they're going to fail. So instead of having a brother next to your side helping you in the battlefield, you're going to have somebody who is putting fear in your heart, telling you, "Let's run away." Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَثَبَّطَهُمْ Allah did not want them to go out, and he told them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them stay behind. Because if they went with you, they would cause you nothing but weakness, khabala. Talut did not want this quality of people to come with him. He did not want them in his army. And we know in the battle of Hunayn, because there were many new Muslims in the army, who just, after Fatah Mecca, there were many who just became Muslim when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened Mecca. That was the hugest army ever that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And one of the Sahaba looked at this army and said, لن يغلب هذا الجيش من قلة. لن نغلب اليوم عن قلة. We're not going to lose because of numbers. Numbers is not going to be a factor in this war. Look at this huge number we have. It happened in the Battle of Hunain. As soon as they received the first blow from the enemy, they were running in every direction. They were running in every direction. Talut didn't want these with him. So he's going to take them through a test. This test is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. Allah is going to test you with a river. Talut made them march in the desert. And he made them thirsty, exhausted and tired. And when they were, and then when they saw water in front of their eyes, Talut said, don't drink. Thirsty, exhausted, tired. Some of them are maybe wondering that we might face death if we don't drink. Talut said, don't drink. مَن شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever drinks does not belong to me. You cannot come with me anymore. وَمَن لَمْ يَطْعَمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. And if you do not drink, then you can come with me. إِلَّا مَنْ اَغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدَهُ. Or if you drink one handful, then you can still come with me. So you either don't drink, or if you drink, you only drink one handful. Just one hand. And one hand cannot take much. Not two hands, one hand. I assume that it is easier not to drink rather than take one drink. Because when you take that first drink, Shaitan is going to make it taste the best sip of water that you ever had in your life. In the end, the result was 80,000 went through this admission test and only 4,000 graduated. Out of 80,000, 76,000 of them drank from the river. Only 4,000 crossed it to the other side. The rest failed from the first test. 76,000 were left behind. Talut is not looking for numbers. These are men who are willing to go and fight with him. He said, don't come with me. You're not allowed. It's a test of will. Because he wants to have men with him who are willing to stand up against temptations and who are going to be patient against hardship. They're willing to stand up against the strong temptations. And in the same time, they are very patient and enduring hardship. In the end, 4,000 remained with him. When they crossed to the other side of the river, and the ones who were left behind with Talut were only 4,000, then that was another test for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ.
They said, we have no way of fighting Jalut. 4,000, do you want us to fight Jalut? Look at his army. There's no way. The believers, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ. The ones who are sure that they are going to meet Allah, they said, كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةٍ كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many times has a small group defeated a larger group with the will of Allah? It's not a matter of numbers. Who are these who are speaking? The ones who are sure that they will meet Allah. So they're not thinking in terms of this dunya, but they're thinking in terms of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The others are telling them, no, let's be real. Let's be real. 4,000 against this huge army, there's no way we can win. They're thinking in terms of the logic of this world. What they can see with their eyes. They see, I can see with my eyes a larger army. They can defeat us. They're not believing in the unseen. So now, another group failed. In the end, Talut was left with the pure, the best of the children of Israel. 314. Out of 80,000, 314 remained with Talut. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is narrated that they said, we were told that the number of mujahideen or fighters which were with Talut was the same number as the ones who fought in the Battle of Badr. 310, more than 310. These are the ones who remained with Talut out of 80,000. Talut took them through tests that would separate between the men and the boys. Set them aside. Take the strong on one side and the weak and the unfit on the other side. In the end, he was left with 310 or 314. These 314, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. And when they faced Jalut وَجُنُودِهِ. Before that, Talut was taking them through tests to see how patient they are, how strong they are, how determined are they. But now, when they are facing the enemy, he's putting all of that aside. It's not your strength, it is not your patience, it is not your will. All of these are means. Now it is depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we use the means before. These means, you prepare for them before the battle. But then when you are in the battlefield, you do not depend on the means anymore. You depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lined up the army, gave them instructions and orders in the battle of Badr. But then when it was time to fighting, what did Rasulullah do? He went on a hilltop and started making dua. Now you put your whole dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that moment, when they were facing Jalut, what did they say? قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. Now they are directing their call to Allah. Oh Allah, shower us or cover us with patience. Allahu Akbar. They're not asking for patience. They're saying, أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. Oh Allah, cover us with patience. Because you don't need a little bit of patience. You do not need a small amount. You need a lot. So they said, أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا. أَفْرِغْ is like you have a big bucket and you're pouring it over someone. That is إفراغ. أفرغ علينا صبرا. Pour on us patience. وثبت أقدامنا. And make our feet firm. وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. And give us victory over the non-believers. The battle started. A huge army was fighting the small army, الفئة القليلة والطالوت. جالوت was the king of the enemy. Powerful, huge, strong man. With arrogance and pride, fighting in the battlefield, asking for anyone to challenge him. Who dares to fight me? Talut said, who will go out and get rid of him? Who will eliminate Jalut? He didn't get any response. A young man, short. He was described by Wahb ibn Munabbah as a short man. Came up to Talut and said, I will. Talut saw that this is a child, so he made the announcement again. Who will go and face Jalut? Nobody responded except this young man. And for the third time, nobody came except him. Talut said, then go. This young man was armed with a slingshot. With a slingshot. But he was armed with iman and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. He went up to Jalut and challenged him. Jalut said, I don't want to fight you. You are a kid. Send somebody stronger. I don't want to kill you. This young man said, but I want to kill you. And he put small pebble in his slingshot and he shot Jalut. And Jalut was dead. He eliminated the king of the enemy and the battle was over. And this young man was Dawud alayhi salam. At that time, he was not a Nabi yet. He was a young fighter in the army. After that, he was the one who inherited the kingdom from Talut. And now the children of Israel are going to enter into their golden age under the leadership of Dawud alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. But this was built on the shoulders of these 314 men who fought in that battle. Just like the Khilafah was established on the shoulders of the 300 and so who fought in the Battle of Badr. That is how you establish Khilafah. It is not by talking. You establish it by the sacrifice. And it's not an issue of numbers, but it's an issue of iman and strength in the hearts. That is the best era that Bani Israel ever had. After that, it was their downfall. After that, it was the curse of their Anbiya on them. And it was their downfall and it was the end until they eventually were the nation whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry with. We are not, even though we are done with the story of Musa, but we're not done with the story of Bani Israel, and Bani Israel are going to continue with us until we end the series of the life of the prophets. Until the end of the series, we're still going to be talking about this ummah, because every other Nabi that we're going to talk about from now on is from this nation, Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them the nation of the Anbiya and the nations of al-Ulama. Out of them were the best scholars of their age and the best people of their time. It wasn't until they neglected the book of Allah and threw it behind their backs, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put His wrath and anger on them.